Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to everybody up there in Winder. And I'm going to take a second and say, Sam, have you got any reports? How are folks doing as far as you can tell up there at Appalachia High School? And
They're doing what they can to move forward.
Move forward, okay.
Move forward.
We were up in Winder shortly after that.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody, when you think about that area, you think about that school and them just...
And just that community.
Day to day, I guess, the best
absolutely.
Way to put it, right?
Absolutely.
So we're thinking
about them.
Thinking about you today. Sam and Greg again on this Sunday morning. Going to have Noel join us later on in the hour. Got Terrell Thomas coming up. And happy birthdays go out to, in the minds of many, the greatest point guard of all time. And it ain't who you're thinking of. It ain't the originals. Now, oh, she's looking at me funny. Now,
uh-oh. See you
guys. I got a problem with a current player who went after this dude's record when he wasn't even trying to make it a record. And that should give you your hint as to who a lot of people believe is the greatest point guard in NBA history. Would you like to join us and give us your thoughts? Noel, are you busy? You're in the middle of something right now. If you can't, we'll come back to you.
There's another great guard that had a birthday a couple of days ago, too. But both
of them. Who do you think it is, Noel?
I know she's talking.
And, but wait, hang on, Sam. I'm sorry. I almost stepped on her. Greeting.
Good morning.
There it is.
Now we can continue.
It's got to be my main man, Pistol Pete Maravich.
No.
This person's still with us.
If you were to guess who most people would consider the greatest point guard right now, it would be his greatest point guard. So if you subscribe to the theory that most folks would pick Magic first, okay?
Okay.
Magic's all-time great point guard is this person who I'm thinking of. And the hint was that he had a record that he wasn't even trying to get, and a current player went after it just to get that record. But it sort of tainted what this person did. Got you lost there a little bit?
A little bit. Who is it?
Oscar Robertson.
I figured it was Oscar Robertson.
Oscar Robertson had that triple-double for a season.
I figured that was a shot at Westbrook.
Didn't know it was a thing, right? When Westbrook went out there and was, I'm going to get that record. Well, yeah. You're trying to get it.
We're talking to somebody who invented a stat.
Invented a stat.
Right?
Kind of like Deacon Jones, right? They didn't even have a stat for sack. They didn't come up with it, right?
Magic, too, right? I never heard of triple-doubles before he got into the league.
Right.
But, yeah, you're right. Oscar Robertson doing it. And people forget. Won that championship with, a Lou Alcindor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Lou Alcindor Bucks team.
Did you
now,
guys...
the other guard that had a birthday this week was Earl Monroe.
Earl of Pearl, right?
Earl of Pearl, yeah.
They say him and what's Pearl Washington, the greatest New York
playground players. Oh, playground players.
They come out of New York.
You got a lot of that. Oh,
but I'm saying those two dudes though are at the top of the foot if you talk to New Yorkers.
Yeah, you got all kind of people. We have them dudes came down here and played at Georgia Tech.
Kenny Anderson. Well, the coach came down here and coached,
Stephon
too, right?
Barberry.
Bobby Grimes.
All the dudes came down here, man.
When I first moved here, and I got to look at, because I grew up in Chicago, and I see a head of hair like I saw in Bobby Crimmins, I'm thinking a voice like Phil Donahue's coming out.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I heard the voice coming out of Bobby Crimmins, and you talk about New York.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh.
They had the pipeline.
It came out hard. Did you see who's getting a statue?
Yeah.
Out in L.A., Noel. Outside the whatever, it's not Staples anymore, whatever it's called.
Crypto Arena,
yeah. Who's next up? The Lakers
In an Armani suit. Armani suit.
Oh, so that sounds like Phil.
No, Pat
Riley.
Pat
Riley was there.
They renamed the court, didn't they? No,
well,
that's down in Miami.
They did that in Miami.
Everybody's clapping up Phil right now.
But the Godfather is getting one in L.A. He got five.
With the slick back gel hair and the Armani suit.
Hey now.
That's going to be a smooth looking statue. Yep. That'd be the best of them all out there. And Pat Riley getting a statue a month after he had to sit there and make, you know, oh yeah, that one with Dwayne looks good. Outside of his arena.
That thing was terrible.
I don't know who's worse. His or Christian, Cristiano Ronaldo's.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
There's some people who talk about the one right down the street here too. Yeah. We all know Neek, you know, high top and all of that.
I thought Neek's is fine. Okay. You got the one of Holyfield on the backside, but we can get him.
We're not gonna make him mad.
All
right, Mr. Crenshaw.
All right, I got to run down some scores and then some matchups for high school that are coming up, folks. We already know what Georgia did yesterday. Talk about some other college football. Georgia State broke out of the skids. They scored 38 points in the first half. Out in Texas, they win 52-44. They'll try to finish the season on a winning note next Saturday against Coastal Carolina here in town. Georgia Southern was a winner, 26-6 over Coastal Carolina. That is good news for them. Kennesaw State was a winner. And we know all the turmoil that's going on out there with Coach Brian Bohannon. Was he fired? Was he dismissed? All we know is he's gone. What kind? I think he was at the game yesterday. He's been at the games. Even though he's not coaching, they're supporting the team. They win at 27-26 over Florida International University. Chandler Burks, a former quarterback there on the coaching staff, is the interim coach and had these thoughts after the game. We were hoping to have that.
Glory to God, first and foremost, and always. You know, we're not here and we're not in this position without him. I'm so dang proud of these guys. I get emotional thinking about it. They've been through it, and they come out every single day and keep fighting.
The goal!
They come out fighting every single day. I'm proud of this senior group. I'm proud of this team. That was a true display of Kennesaw State football. I could not be more proud of those young men.
And that's Chandler Burks being interviewed by a friend of the show, Maria Martin, who's doing sidelines for that broadcast. So she was talking with us. So they get the win. Mercer is Southern Conference champions, 49-23 winners over Furman. So good for the Baz. Won that. Barry in Division III playoffs get knocked out first round. Great season for them. Finish 8-3. Maryville beats them 20-16. HBCUs, we talk about, you know, SIAC representative Miles. They beat Clark Atlanta last week. They beat Carson Newman yesterday, 14-13. That's the school's first ever Division I NCAA playoff win. So congrats to them. And I'll put my hand over my heart. That's my parents' school. I always say, no Miles, no me. But they got to go to Valdosta next week and play Valdosta State. That's going to be tough for them, but congrats on them. Virginia Union was a winner as well. They beat Wingate 34-31, so Virginia Union is on to the next round. They're going to get to play Lenoir Ryan. And shout out to Eddie George and Tennessee State. They beat Southwest Missouri State 28-21. This is a job that he didn't want.
No.
He didn't want to coach. They said, we need you to come in and coach this team. His coaching team, they are 9-3, and they have won the conference championship, which is now a hybrid conference right now. OV, Ohio Valley / Big South, with teams that have been moving up to different categories and whatnot. But anyway, Tennessee State wins their conference championship, and 9-3 is their record. All right, we got high school playoffs. We weren't supposed to have any high school this week, but because we moved those games back for the storm, this week we're playing.
Right.
Which means Thursday morning when we come in, because we'll be here Thursday morning, there'll be some practicing going on. So we're going to find a couple of coaches we can check in with who are getting ready to have Thanksgiving Day practice, and the team mamas and whatnot are going to have some biscuits there for the guys and whatnot, and they're going to practice. But here are some of your matchups coming up next week in 6A. It will be Hillgrove taking on Carrollton. Going to be a good ball game. North Gwinnett playing Buford. Going to have West Forsyth playing Douglas County, and we're going to have Collins Hill playing Grayson, and those two met earlier in the season. We'll see what happens with that one. In Class 5A, we're going to have Sprayberry. They got to go to Lee County, but that's a tough, but they got to go. Somebody's got to go. Milton's going to play Houston County. Langston Hughes is going to be playing Thomas County Central, and Coffey is going to play Sequoia. Sequoia, some people may think a surprise. They knocked off Woodward Academy this week. In Class 4A, we're going to Eastside. They're another big surprise. They knocked off Perry this week. They got Creekside next week. Eastside against Creekside. Marist is going to play Cambridge. Cambridge was a big winner. They knocked off Central Carrollton this week. They beat Cedartown last week. North Oconee against Cartersville is going to be a good ball game, and Blessed Trinity against Benedictine. We're going to go down to 3A. In 3A, Jefferson against Cherokee Bluff. We're going to have North Hall against LaGrange, Southeast Bullock against Stevenson, the representative from DeKalb County. We got Calhoun against Peach County, the Fighting Randy McMichaels. In the Elite Eight of that classification. In the 2As, you got Rockmart, Morgan County. You got Thompson against Burke County. Those guys played each other a couple of weeks ago. They're going to play again. Pierce County against Carver Columbus. And you got Stevens County against Appling County. And let's see who we got with the private school. We got Savannah Christian against North Cobb Christian. Prince Avenue Christian against Calvary Day. Fellowship Christian against Wesleyan. And we got Aquinas and Hebron Christian. That's the categories. We got single A Division One, Fannin County. Those guys keep rolling up there in the mountains. They're taking on Northeast Fitzgerald and Worth County. Elbert County against Toombs. They beat Commerce this week. And Thomasville against Dublin. Dublin continues to roll. And Division Two of Class A, Irwin County against Tryon. Clinch County and Bowden. Those guys are always around. Lincoln County against Manchester ought to be a good ball game. And Brooks County against Jenkins County. Those are your Elite Eight playoff games that are coming up this week. I'm assuming they're all going to be played at 7:30 Friday night. But you know, Greg, there's an issue because at 7:30 Friday night, Georgia and Georgia Tech will play.
They go at it. Yep.
And at the same time of the high school state playoffs. And, you know, I.J. Rosenberg joined Chris Park and I Friday night in the scoreboard show. And we talked about how both of ours disdain for Friday night college football.
I don't got a problem with that.
Why? Because in this where we live, Friday night is for high school ball.
It's
where the focus is, but we don't want this tradition to go by the way. And it can do it other places, but you're going to put a game like Georgia and Georgia Tech in an area that is highly recruited as this is, and put it on a night when some of those kids who are playing are being recruited and are invited to come to the game, and they can't. And in this day and time when recruiting is as the way it is, mm-hmm. You're a freshman, incoming freshman, it's tougher for incoming kids because you can get this guy with 2 or 3 years experience to come and play. So for those kids to be forced, you're happy for their success, their high school teams are winning, but now they can't go and be invited to something that you know that they would want to go and be present for.
Well, it's a good lesson in dealing with adversity for these young kids.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
No, them parents don't want to hear that, man.
We ain't talking about the parents.
That's about the parents.
Well, hang on a second.
Because
you've been great for playing. This is like Center Court Wimbledon.
Right.
I'll be with you today.
Absolutely.
Every time
absolutely.
I throw something out there, you smack it right back
at
me.
You ain't thinking about what the parents are having to deal with.
You asked me about the kids. You didn't say about what the parents are dealing with.
But they're part of it because the parents got to sign off on it.
Yes, they are, but the kids are learning a lesson.
We're learning a lesson.
Parents don't always have to agree with the lessons that a kid learns. I can tell you that firsthand. You learn something as we grow up, we always damage ourselves as boys doing stupid things. Our parents would smack us up across the head for doing it. But yet, when it happens afterwards, as long as we don't kill ourselves, we've learned a lesson.
So what lesson they learn from this?
Well, adversity. Dealing with adversity, as I said. Dealing with things that don't always fall into place. This is what we talk about sports, period. You learn the life lessons in sports. Winning and losing. So that's my argument. Not having things go your way. The parents may not want that. And parents, having been you and I, Ace, step-parent. We do it with one hand tied behind our back. But there are discussions you get into that you may not be ready to get into, but you have to for whatever the reason. The timing isn't always when you want it to have happen, whether it's this what you're talking about or something else, a life lesson that has to be discussed with that child. You can put it off like some parents and stick their head in a hole and hope that the kid gets it, or you can have that uncomfortable 2-minute or 5-minute conversation. But bringing this back full circle to your point, I just said that adversity is something that everybody has to learn to deal with, and this is one of those opportunities.
I think the parents are saying, hey, it's a chance for my child to go and be seen by these people and go and visit them and be, you know, on a recruiting day, and now they don't get a chance to do it.
Those
and,
parents.
And some kid who's already playing ball somewhere else will jump them in line for the scholarship. I don't see anything being a great learning lesson about that at all.
I said great learning lesson. I said adversity.
Yeah.
And the good news is they're playing. So it's bittersweet because they get to play or practice on Thanksgiving. Yeah. We'll see what happens. I'm sure they'll turn out fine. Let's talk to Terrell about what's going on in the NBA, this All-Star game, there's other things to talk to him about, too. And Selah. She may be joining us this upcoming week as we do Thanksgiving shows. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 24th day of November. We started the show off talking about our story of the week. We gave Sam gave his, I gave mine, but mine had a little attachment to it, which I'm going to talk about during the casting call, and it has to do with inside the NBA being swallowed up by ESPN. So Charles and Kenny and Shaq and Ernie will continue with the most popular NBA show there's been for the last umpteen years, but they're going to be over there. It's going to be a weird transition, but they will continue as we talk to Terrell Thomas about the NBA. How are you, sir, this morning?
I'm great. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
Yeah.
Good morning.
What did you think about that when you heard that news?
I'm pretty happy. We know that the NBA nowadays is kind of being monopolized in multiple ways, but I am glad that we'll continue to get that great program. So ESPN, I think, was very smart. We saw them do it in other areas when they picked up, like, the Pat McAfee show and such. So I'm glad that we'll continue to get to see those guys on air.
Okay.
I think so as well.
Yeah.
I think so as well. We're going to get the Hawks in a minute. Also this week they announced about the changes with the All-Star game.
Yes.
What do you make of this? It's going to be like four different little separate games or whatnot, I guess, because just having a regular game is not good enough these days, huh?
Yeah, I don't want to be the young guy screaming, get off my lawn or anything like that. But I want to see how it plays out. I don't know if I like this format so far, at least from how it sounds. I still remember the days I was petitioning over the last few years that we should just simply bring back guys wearing their own team jerseys and such, and the away team maybe wearing the light colors, and dark, you know, home team wearing.
I think baseball is going to go back to that next year. We've gotten tired of these ugly costumes that they put them
in. Yeah, you guys are talking
open that people are going to go online and buy them and whatnot.
That's
right.
And you, right. When is a team? When is a league walked away from a revenue stream, even if it is a small one?
They found a way. I think they realize some way somehow they'll still find a way to capitalize. They'll throw that All-Star patch on the hats or something like that. But with the NBA, I really don't know. I can't say from what I've heard or read or seen so far that I am a fan of where they're going. I know for the last decade or so, the NBA has been looking for ways to kind of increase the popularity of the game, to kind of increase the competitive nature of the game. We've seen, LeBron and Steph doing the drafts and then mixing it up like that. But I wish they would just stick to the regular East versus West format and let the games begin, or even give us more of a international team versus Team USA or something like that type format versus where they're going at. But the NBA finds ways to make things work, so we shall see.
All right, you two old farts sitting there talking about
this. Yeah, really.
Y'all don't know nothing about progress. Yeah. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Sam and Greg with Terrell Thomas, East Urban Times, joining us here. I heard something last week that, because last week we talked about Embiid and his issues and how that's affecting Philly and the fan base and all that. But then it came out this week that there was a meeting that took place. And in that meeting, what I heard happened took me back to the early or late 90s, early 2000s, and I'll tell you why. Because I heard that the meeting that the 76ers had this past week, it was Tyrese Maxey, 24-year-old Tyrese Maxey, who's already established himself. He's one of the young stars in this league, and he is what's next on that 76ers team. Call out Embiid, talking about his tardiness, talking about always being late, talking about how that affects the team. It was one of those situations where, yeah, it was needed, but this guy being who he is, Joel Embiid, and being put in his place or being confronted by this young star. You know what it reminded me of, Terrell? It reminded me of what we heard happened between Kobe and Shaq.
I wonder where you're going to go there.
You know what I mean? It was what Kobe was calling Shaq lazy and out of shape and coming in. And that famously eventually got Shaq out of L.A. and down to Miami. But it did. It took me back to them days. And we saw what kind of leader Kobe was going to be after that. And the Lakers believed it, too. Because you can see where they hung their hat. But anyway, did that pop into your mind? And how do you feel about that conversation?
Well, first off, I do think that was a phenomenal comparison there with Joel Embiid and Maxey and the whole Kobe and Shaq situation and how it unfolded. I was very happy to hear. The Sixers have been beyond disappointing this season. I think, you know, that's an understatement, especially when you look at the availability of the quote-unquote Sixers big three of Maxey, George, and Embiid. Maxey just actually returned about two games, and he's been on he's been on a minute restriction due to a hamstring injury in which he suffered earlier in the season. Paul George is out again. He re-injured the knee in which he hyperextended in the preseason here against the Hawks. And Embiid's just been out with knee swelling and such. He'll actually be out today as well in today's Sixer matchup. So I was glad, number one, that they had a team meeting because they need to find some type of common ground to kind of resolve quickly whatever they have going on. And hearing that Maxey was the guy who led the meeting, who enforced the meeting, as you just mentioned, a young star, a rising star in this league. They already nicknamed him the franchise in Philadelphia. So for him to grab the franchise by the hold and let Joel Embiid know, like, this is, you're supposed to be our leader. You're the guy in which I look to. You're the guy in which we look to. So we need you to get your stuff together. I was very happy to hear that. And now it's on Joel. Now it's time for us to see how he responds. He came out and had a 30-plus point game, but the Sixers lost. So that didn't really result in them turning things around and getting on the winning side of things. And ironically, the Sixers were able to pick up a win without Joel Embiid recently on Friday night. So it's ugly in Philadelphia right now when you look at the 76ers. And I hope somehow, some way, they find a way to turn things around quickly, or it's only going to get worse.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline this morning with Terrell Thomas. And he is social. Always find him at Eldorado2452, at Eldorado2452. Bring it home, man. Let's talk about our home team. They've been on this trip. We saw some good. We saw some not so good. The last two games out, they just had trouble keeping pace at all. Looked well, and they should have had a win up in at Portland as well coming into that. Now they're headed for home in Dallas tomorrow night. What do you make of the week that they've had? They got some healthy bodies back, too.
Yeah, I think that's the one positive point we can look and see is that Bogey's back out there. DeAndre's been out there consistently. We've even seen Kobe Bufkin getting some minutes. So as you just mentioned, the injury bug that plagued the team early in the season, that is slowly starting to fade away, in the roster in which the Hawks wanted to begin the season with is kind of, the picture there is unfolding. It was disappointing. It was almost a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type thing where we did see the Hawks pick up a few big wins, pick up some early wins on the road trip. But then when you look at how they faced Sacramento and such, but then, as you mentioned, a loss to Portland, a loss to a Warriors team where we've seen the Hawks sometimes play the competition. When they beat the Celtics early in the year and over the past few years, they may lose the teams in which they're not supposed to lose to, and then they beat teams who are in the upper echelon of the NBA. So I thought we would see a little bit more from the Hawks against the Warriors, but the Warriors were able to get out to a quick lead and just pretty much keep that lead. Big matchup, though. You know, every night in the NBA is a competitive and a tough night, as we'll see Luka. Well, Luka won't be playing, but we'll see Luka's team. We'll see the Mavericks come to town. Hawks will unveil their city jersey. So the Hawks have a great opportunity here to get back on the winning side of things. We'll see Klay Thompson. We'll see Kyrie Irving. As I just mentioned, Luka won't be in the lineup. But the Hawks have to take advantage of these type of situations when they get out there, and maybe some home cooking but be just what the guys need.
Talk about the game they won with the defensive play at the end. And once again, when I see this guy play defense, talking about Daniels, I'm like, yes, this is what this team has needed. And just think about they preserved the win out of Sacramento on a defensive play at the end.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I also want to give credit to DeAndre Hunter because both of those guys, it was when DeAndre started off guarding De'Aaron Fox, and then he kind of passed him off to Dyson Daniels, who was able to get a steal slash block, swiping a ball out of Fox's hands to win the game. It was just great to see, and I think this is something that Hawks fans have been craving for the past few years, a defensive guard, someone to help Trae Young. And we've seen Trey's defense pick up. He's had a few nights where he's had two or three more steals than usual because he's playing the passing lane a little differently. Dyson Daniels has just been, so far, I believe, I read a stat where he's responsible for about three wins because of his defensive prowess. If he keeps this pace up, he'll be responsible for about 12 to 15 wins just himself. So Dyson Daniels he's been marvelous so far on the defensive end, and he's given us some things offensively. So that's been very impressive to see.
Hawks are going to honor Mutombo. Did you hear that?
Yep.
With the no thing going on there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what's funny? You guys,
we're
talking about the Dallas matchup with the Hawks, and you said Luka's not playing, but his team is playing. And you think about the other two guys on that team. Luka's the only one that ain't got a championship. But yet one of them's got four, and the other one's got he's got one. We leave Kyrie's and Klay's championships out. If that team gels and stays healthy, who's beating them out West?
I can see the Warriors. I can see a matchup where we see maybe a Dallas Golden State Western Conference Finals.
You think
the Warriors?
You
always
think they got one more championship in them?
I do.
Even
and I'm gonna give you a fun hip hop. Well, right now they're 12-3. They lost to San Antonio, but it seems like when they start off strong before the Christmas break, they're able to really turn things around because they're winning right now, kind of in spite of Steph Curry. Over his last few games, he hasn't even eclipsed the 20-point mark when they're still beating teams by 12 to 20 points or more. We've seen a lot from Wiggins. We've seen a lot from Draymond as far as kind of running as the point guard of that team. So I really wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors get it done. And it's also another fun fact. So in the world of hip-hop and sports, recently Kendrick Lamar released an album yesterday. Every year that Kendrick Lamar has released an album, the Warriors have went on to put up a banner. Who knows? You know, it may be some cooking in the NBA for Steph Curry and the guys. So I can easily see a Warriors Mavericks Western Conference Finals.
That you know, what used to be the case with that, and I hate to bring it like this, but it seemed like for a period of time, like more than a decade, when a Saturday Night Live member, one of the original or whoever Saturday Night Live member passed, that next baseball season there was a perfect game. Somebody actually chronicled that.
Really?
And said, yeah. It was a perfect game. But listen, as far as out West, Oklahoma City, that dude, listen, he got a taste of it last year.
Yeah.
I think they got to worry about them, meaning Golden State. I think that Ja's back, and he's already left my mouth open a couple times with some of the moves he's made.
Yep.
I've been talking about I've been talking about Memphis for a minute. So I just feel like Golden State, I see too much age in them legs for them to get past without having Klay, these young teams coming back. And let's not sleep on Minnesota. So, again, it's early, but.
But you're leaving out Denver.
Yeah.
How you gonna leave them out?
Because I can. I don't think that I don't. I think these other three teams that I mentioned, the younger legs, will prevail this year.
They ain't got the guy that Denver has.
No, they don't have that dude, but they got a team.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. All right. What else is going on with you, Terrell? You ready for Thursday?
I am. I'm almost ready for Thursday. Looking forward to not only some good football, but some great times with family and friends, having some good fellowship. So I am. Got to knock out a few things before this week gets the week really takes off, especially with our Hawks playing tomorrow night. But I am. I'm very much so looking forward to Thursday.
Well, I can tell you right now for our audience, Sam and I, we already talked about we're going to be with you this upcoming week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then we'll be back again next Saturday. Terrell will be joining us before some Hawks games. But also, you know, I had a conversation yesterday or day before with Selah, your daughter. And we talked about her next appearance. And she may be joining us this week while we're doing these Thanksgiving shows to get us ready for women's college basketball season along with Noel. So you good with that if we borrow your daughter for a little bit there?
Yeah.
Of course. You know I am. You know I am. And she, we've already went out to catch UConn and see what they're doing with Paige Beckers. So she's ready to discuss this upcoming season. I think it'll be very dope in the college world for the young lady. So, yes, indeed. It'd be great to hear her talk about what she's taking place soon.
And, Sam, he brought up the name UConn. And we started the show, one of the things we talked about. And Sam and Noel have a little assignment. And I don't want to put you under pressure to come up with 10. But Gino, becoming now the NCAA's all-time winningest coach, got me thinking about who are your top 10 all-time coaches. So when we talk to you in a couple days, I'd like you to give us your list. Because we've been talking basketball. And it doesn't have to be pros. Because I can tell you, if I asked you to give me a list of top 10 football coaches, American football coaches, you would probably put Nick Saban ahead of a number of NFL coaches, correct?
I don't know about that one. I might throw Belichick. I might throw Andy Reid ahead of Nick Saban.
You won't come up with 10 other coaches ahead of Nick Saban.
Not at all.
It can be college, it can be pros, but come up with 10, and if Geno's on it, cool. If not, it could be basketball, football, whatever, hockey, whatever it is, and then we'll have that list for you next week. How's that?
Okay. Yes, indeed. I'll get on that.
All right. You got any lasting questions or thoughts for Terrell before we let him go?
No, we're going to see him this week.
Absolutely. I have you come down to the studio. That's how much we love you.
Yeah, man.
Let me know. I'll pull on up.
All right.
Make coffee.
It's Terrell Thomas. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of your day. It's Sam and Greg. Oh, it's that time. Noel, up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam Greg, on this 24th day of November, thank you for letting us be a part of it. Beginning of a holiday week for you. We'll be with you Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and back again next Sunday. And by the way, if you can't get in front of a TV today, let you know that we got not only Atlanta United at Orlando, which is the big one. We're going to hear from Longshore later on. Pre-kick at 2:30, kick at 3:30. But we got Philadelphia at the Rams tonight, Sunday Night Football. Pre-game at 7:30, kick at 8 o'clock. We haven't done this in a few weeks, Sam. We haven't done it in a while because we've lost our fourth hour.
Right.
But she's been with us, and she's had things to say, and it's been all bottled up. But we got the 4 hours. Falcons are on a bye this week. And so Noel's world returns.
Yes.
And we could not be happier about that.
Yes.
First of all, we got the good morning earlier, but we can do that again if you want.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
How you been?
I've been pretty good.
What's the phrase now? The question is, are you ready for the holidays?
Yes, I am, actually.
Well, you wanted a few.
I got to knock out some homework between the next 2 days, and then it's just me, Sam, and Greg, and some turkey. Ready.
In my case, I'd apply them both together. But that's going to be nice. Well, anyway, I'm just excited. I'm going to let you just take over from here because you've had some things you've wanted to say. I don't know where you're going to go, but we apologize for not having the hours that we've had normally on this show where we can spend some time, quality time with you. But
don't apologize to me. Apologize to Atlanta.
That's right. Sorry, y'all.
It's Atlanta that's missing out.
You've been missing out on Noel. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But it's all good. So Sunday, if you remember, I snuck in here about an hour early just so I could tease this right here. So I said Sunday before I clicked the button and got off the air that Trae Young is not leaving Atlanta, but he may be going somewhere. And Jumpman, them boys up to something in Atlanta.
How about that?
Yep. It has been officially announced. Let's see. In this report from Athlon Sports by, what does that say? A. Noel White. Oh, that's me. Today, Friday, Young and Jordan Brand shared images of the Atlanta Hawks all-star guard dressed in Jordan gear to announce his signing. Mm. Speaking about the signing, Young states, "Being a Jordan Brand athlete and putting on my Jordans again feels great. Joining this family is a full circle moment and an honor." And you know what, Trey? Ditto. This is a full circle moment. Honor moment, because we are back, Atlanta. We can wear our Hawks gear with our swooshes and our Jumpmans on the patch with our Jumpmans on the feet, because Trae Young is on board with the rest of us. Congratulations, Jordan Brand, on getting a good one. See, y'all thought I was going to congratulate Trae, didn't you? No. Congratulate Jordan Brand on getting a good one. We do not have the details of the signing yet, so we don't know how long it is. We don't know what the financial implications are. We don't know if there is a signature shoe in the package. But we know that when he gets on the plane, when he gets on the court, when we see him playing, watching his pickleball team, he will be in the 23.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Is that a clap-worthy?
Yeah.
Was,
absolutely.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Woo! That was, all right. That's big news.
Now, why am I so excited for this? One, I love Jordan Brand. Two, I love Jordan. And three, I saw this coming. This has been some on-the-ground reporting on my part.
Uh-oh.
I've been following this since preseason. Since the contract expired, since we found out that Adidas was going to scrap the fourth signature shoe, which I am upset about. I kind of like that shoe, but that is okay because we are going to see what he does with Jordan Brand. It'll probably start off with some collab, something to do with Atlanta, something to do with Oklahoma, something to do with the Sooners, and then we'll graduate to some bigger projects like we did with Zion and like we did with Tatum and like we did with Luka, who we will see this week when Atlanta premieres the new jersey. But yes, I am excited.
You know what I want me a pair of?
What?
Is that?
Because you know, Jordan, you see that, you know, you got the basketball shoe, that's a given. And then you see the football players in the Jordans, right? So that's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
But you know what I think I have not
seen?
And
then baseball.
Baseball, too.
Jeter was one of the first ones, I think.
You know what I want me a pair of? Because back in the day, I used to wear them, wrestling shoes.
I knew you was going to say that. I used to wear wrestling shoes, too.
Okay.
I knew you was going to say
that.
But
you know, not wrestling shoes. The drivers, the NASCAR drivers, those shoes.
Oh, those shoes. Okay.
Those, he got to have some Jordan shoes for them dudes.
Yeah, actually.
All them drivers.
Yeah.
They got to sit in the car for all them hours. I'm sure they have comfortable shoes. You know, I would imagine it's already been in the works, but I would not be surprised soon.
I'm trying to think of what maker Puma had been for the longest time.
Yeah, Puma, Adidas.
Are you surprised we heard that yet, though? But that's got to be next.
Now that you brought that up, yes, because like all of his passion projects have like a Jordan Brand attachment to it,
like
the golf brand.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Like we get Eastside Golf Jordan's like Jordan Brand stuff like quarterly at this point.
We need a full picture of Bubba and see what's on.
Oh, but they're wearing.
Well, they got the boots. Yeah, but yeah. To your point, it is interesting to see who makes them.
Yeah, we
got
to see the swoosh.
And
on
Nike
the boot.
Might make them and just for them, and we don't even know. See now you gave me an assignment. I gotta go.
I gave you
look
two
and
assignments.
See. Yeah, you did.
Anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, so I am super excited. So I think one of my next little pet projects will be the best. It's going to be the history of Jordan. The best Jordan shoes you can wear with any edition of your Hawks jerseys, because we back, baby. We back.
Well, black goes with everything.
See that?
Well, it does, but you know, you got some black, you got some red, and we've had like 10 years of these city editions now, so now I got all kind of jerseys to pull upon. Pistol Pete wore the green and blue joint. You know, we've had more white than red before. We've had more black than red. We had the ombre 90s joint. We got some options.
What old school player deserves a shoe that doesn't have one, that weren't around before they started making shoes? So, like, you just mentioned Maravich. I can see Pete Maravich having a shoe.
He had a shoe.
Was it a Converse shoe? I'm talking about like they make today's shoes, something like that.
I mean, it was a shoe that he wore.
All right,
I'm trying to think. It may have even been Pro Kids.
You're probably right. Maybe Pro Kids. Chuck Taylors or something like that?
No, it's Chuck Taylors. I think he wore a Pro Kid.
Who would you like to see have a shoe? Whose shoe would you buy if they had one now that was an old school player?
This is going to sound crazy because he had a shoe, quote unquote, but I wish Magic would have taken the deal for the Nike Blazer, because they wound up putting that shoe on George Gervin, which is cool, you know, known as the Iceman Blazer and all that stuff. But I think it would have really been something with Magic's name attached to it versus Magic just promoting the same Converse that everybody else was promoting, just in yellow and gold. I mean, just in yellow and purple.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really could have been compelling for Magic Johnson to have a shoe that had Magic on the side.
Okay, I can see that. You got one, Sam?
I got
two.
All right, go ahead.
The immediate one, it's ironic, too, because this is what he did in Barbershop, but Norm Van Leer.
Okay.
Norman. That was
okay.
My
yeah,
first
man.
Big point guard after the Bulls. But I'll tell you one that I really would want. I'd put Norm to the side if this dude had a shoe, and I'm going off the beaten path, Curly Neal, in a second.
Okay, actually, yeah, that would be cool.
You know what?
Because that would make you feel like a Globetrotter.
Maybe not that, but maybe a shoe that the Globetrotters endorse. That the team endorsed.
Curly
yeah,
because
it would make you feel like you would want to slice them things up and
put that under my tree.
Man,
some Curly Neal shoes. I'm there all day. All day. But Storm and Norman and Curly Neal, those are my two shoes.
I was thinking about Walt Frazier, but he wore the Pumas, and I don't think he had one that was for him, but just because he was so unique with the way he dressed out anyway when he stepped out, it was going to be something different and unique. So, You know, I know that was the brand that he had back in the day.
Do you know the story, Noel? I know Sam does, but do you know the story of how he got his nickname?
Mm-mm.
You know what his nickname is, right?
Mm-mm.
Walt Frazier?
What?
He's known as Clyde.
Clyde.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Duh. Yeah. Duh. You know, I saw him on the TV the other day, and I could not. I was like, I know who that is, but I can't think of the name. It was Clyde.
Okay, but do you know where he got the name?
No. Mm-mm.
He got the name.
Oh, was it because he always wore the Pumas?
No.
Okay.
No. It was the way he dressed, though, because you know about his fashion
style. Yeah.
Anyway, he came to the arena one time early on. I think it was before the championship, before he became who he became as a player, but he was still dressing the way we know him to dress. And somebody said, man, you look like Bonnie and Clyde. And look like Clyde Barrow.
Yeah,
look like a gangster.
Okay.
And that's where it came from.
Oh. Yeah.
And Bonnie and Clyde was a big movie. It was like the
it was
big
movie at the time. Box
68.
Office.
68.
Yeah.
And, you know, was it
was that Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, somebody said he looked like a gangster. He looked like Bonnie and Clyde.
He had them pinstripe, even big pinstripe suits.
He still wore them thing. That's basically what he had on when I saw another day.
So that's where Clyde came from.
Nice. And then Puma took it and ran with it because that's actually one of the biggest, like, signature, quote-unquote, sneakers there was at that time. Mm-hmm. Puma Clyde's were nasty. I'm still a big fan, actually.
Yeah. And they ain't won nothing since. What them New York teams? They've been minutes since they won anything, except for the Liberty. They're the only ones.
Liberty.
They talk about the Yankees.
Because they're talking about quarterbacks up there. What, we ran one out of town this week, right?
Trying to run another one out.
He got demoted, and then he just quit. He went at a press conference. I guess you can do that when you got $40 million in your pocket. Because he's getting that, he got that money. He got some guaranteed money from the Giants.
When he got drafted by the Giants, I was like, for real?
Yeah.
But, you know, and then now we're here. And then when the draft, because I finally remembered how I put the tea leaves together that we were going to draft Michael Penix in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the draft, and the Giants took Malik Nabers. And that's when I went, oh, we're going to get Penix. Because I didn't see him, you know, moving past New York. And then now what New York doing? Looking for a quarterback.
Looking for a quarterback. Looking for a fan base, too. Because them people are jumping off. Between them and the Jets, who's going to that stadium?
I mean, the we fly high, no lie balling days are long gone. They are far behind us, along with Eli's career. So,
speaking of which, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? You heard he made the announcement. He's part of this class. Is Eli Manning a first ballot Hall of Famer?
In my opinion, it depends on who else is in the class.
That ain't an answer.
it's not a good one, but I really believe.
But the fact that you got to say that just answers
if
the question.
If it's just Eli, like off his merits, is Eli a first ballot Hall of Famer? No.
Okay.
But if he's the only quarterback on the ballot of that year,
No. He don't get in because of who's going with him. He gets in because you're going to have to think about it. He's a Hall of Famer, or he's not. Well,
he's a Hall of Famer for sure.
I mean, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. We're talking about first ballot.
And the other thing is where he played.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that gets him.
But I'm saying, like, if you have, a list of seven people or whatever, and their, you know, career or accolades seem to be lesser than Eli in that same class, then, yeah, Eli's probably going to be a first ballot.
So then my question is this. He was part of the trade. He did what folks are saying is going to happen this next year if so-and-so doesn't – if Deion's son doesn't go where he wants him to go.
They were trying to put that on Caleb this year.
He's going to pull an Archie Manning. So – the two guys that were a part of that, Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning, which one goes in first? You had Eli who's got the two rings.
But
his career as far as stats were
I don't disagree.
Look at the all-time stats that Phillip Rivers put up, albeit out there in San Diego, but no ring. Again,
I think what hurts Phillip Rivers, in my opinion, is that you moved off of Drew Brees for him, and Drew Brees accomplished the one thing he didn't.
Not there,
but he accomplished it. Like it that's one of those what might have been situations. So you didn't accomplish it, but you moved off of this guy thinking that he couldn't do it, and then he went down there in New Orleans and he did it, unfortunately. And now, you know, that's also a part of Phillip's legacy. You got that on top of Eli won a ring, Eli won two, you didn't. Brees won one, you didn't. People feel like you ran LaDainian Tomlinson out of town. It's gonna be things, in my opinion, that it just depends on how the writers see Phillip Rivers, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If all you look at are the stats and the numbers and the things that he could achieve.
Was he one of the great quarterbacks during his time?
Yes, I agree.
And so,
but the problem is that's with Roethlisberger and blah, 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 and on. So when you look at that list,
I can't think of nobody who got his numbers that at least didn't make an appearance in a Super Bowl or get up there.
Exactly.
It's almost like his brother who played baseball, but Tony Gwynn got to a World Series.
Right.
He didn't win it. So all his stats, culminated in him helping his team get to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That,
Dan Marino got that one. Exactly. That one appearance. Matt Ryan has that one appearance.
I would say when we talk about stats as a quarterback, Fran Tarkenton.
Yep,
but yet
Fran,
he got Minnesota there.
Four times. So
I don't know. Does Phillip Rivers get there? And oh, yeah. But
so I feel like there's a lot of things you could look at Phillip and go, eh.
Right, right.
Well, I do think he is a Hall of Famer, but if we talk about first ballot or how long it's going to take or, you know, we've seen guys wait forever. We saw what they did with Snake. So we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, thank you. We missed you. Missed having you come on here and do this.
Yeah, it was
going
fun.
All over the map there. I got a casting call I may bring you back on because I got stuff I got to talk about.
And now I got to go look at some Jordans to buy. So.
Yes, you do. But you know what? Don't leave yet because we have a guest coming up next who might talk about some
shoes
and where to get it. We have Rick Limpert on every time there's a holiday right around the corner. He lets you know about holiday gifts. He is joining us next as we head to this 8 o'clock hour. Along with Jason Longshore going to be joining us, getting you ready for Atlanta United at Orlando. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you on the Odyssey app.